Hello, everyone. Surprise, surprise. It's me and Joe with an extra show. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Moto. I mean, hello, Ted.
Hello, Moto. yeah, I'm all right, thank you. And it's Monday the 20th of October, and we thought we'd stick in an extra show because we had quite a lot of stuff banking up. We're both now in possession of new Motorola device, well, new to us Motorola devices from Moto UK PR, and there's also a backlog of Moto stuff, so we thought we would have a show that's kind of leaning towards Motorola and get that all mopped up. And you would like to dub it Hello Moto.
Indeed, yes. Seems suitable.
Yeah, absolutely. So this one is show 871. And next week, next Monday, on the 27th, we will have the scheduled show with Scott Brady. He's in the USA, and we're going to be recording that to fit in with him. So it's 9 p.m. and 4 o'clock where he is. So that show might well not be out until Tuesday morning. Depends how awake I am when we finish recording. So anyway, that's coming next week. This time, we just like to mop up the furniture of the show. So our website now, for those that don't know, is phonesshowchat.uk. That's two S's in the middle, phonesshowchat.uk. And my website is tedsalmon.com, and you'll find links to all the usual stuff, the audio podcasts and the MeWe groups coming out from there. Now, a bit of feedback from Malcolm Bryant. He says, I really like the content of the podcast with you and Joe. It all seems to flow well. Thank you, Malcolm. The audio is now louder too. Hopefully I'm learning about that as I go forward. So thanks for the feedback on that. One request, though, he says, can we please have App of the Week or App of the Fortnight back? I found that really interesting, and it seems to have kind of disappeared. So fair enough, Malcolm. Yeah, we will do that when we have a guest on. We'll try and encourage them to give us an App of the Week like we used to do. Good idea, Joe.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for the feedback, Malcolm. I like the shout-outs from the guests, so I second that. Yeah, yep, some cool. Good apps come from it.
Yeah, definitely. And stuff that we don't really know. At the moment, I'm trying to find, for example, a stacking widget app which somebody has developed third party. Now there is one in the Octopi launcher, but if someone had an app that could do that for me without it having to be inside a launcher, I'd be delighted. I can't find one, so
answers on MeWe, please, guys.
Yeah, there's a challenge out there. Right, Joe, tell us about the latest on the pub meet.
Yeah, so it's, as mentioned, it's going to be Saturday the 1st of November. There's not much interest in the photo walk, so I've knocked that on the head. We'll forget about that for this time around.
Walking?
I'll be heading... Yeah, walking. No walking. Don't do that. Yeah. I'll be heading to London for around lunchtime, and I'll stay around till around about 5 p.m. I need to pick a pub. It most likely be a Wetherspoon, so it's nice and cheap for my lunch and for beers. And it's obviously big, and we can be in the corner somewhere. I'm looking to leave around 5 because I'm going to join my family for a local fireworks display. To be fair, my wife hasn't had a go at me for being busy on the first Saturday I'm off. So I got away with that, which is good. Sorry for those that I will be leaving earlier, but there's no stopping you drinking into the evening if you wish.
Yeah. You could bring your wife with you and your daughter, and then they could all have a day out and everyone can meet everyone.
Yeah, she definitely likes the fact that I do these podcasts, so like, I don't talk to her about this rubbish. That's what she would say.
Right, okay then. So, from the next show, we'll try and have a App of the Week, which we're going to call the App Wrap. The App Wrap. Yes. In the meantime, some news, some general phone related news. The first one being that there seems to be some U-turning going on with regards to various manufacturers, including Samsung, with the thin is in kind of phone, just in time for Motorola to launch theirs. The news is that allegedly the S25 Edge has flopped so hard, they haven't sold enough of them, etc., etc., and they're ditching it and pulling the plug on the whole lineup. I don't think that they've officially said that yet, but it seems to be what's going on. And the same from Apple?
Yeah, it seems that way. Although I'm seeing mixed reports because like they sold really well in China, but I don't know what the numbers were. It's a funny one. Apple did cleverly not call it the 17 Air. They called it the Air. So it could sit in the portfolio next year as well, I think.
Definitely.
But, yeah, it's not sold well. And I'm not surprised, really, myself.
It's a bit of a trend, wasn't it? What might sell well is the ever-growing battery sizes that are coming out of China. Honor have now kind of announced, I think now, that one of their forthcoming devices is going to be 9,000 milliamp hours. Now, we've seen fringe Android phones with humongous batteries, like double the size of this. But in terms of a mainstream OEM, we haven't seen anything like this size. But Joe, there are some issues with the EU and the UK and whether or not we'll actually see batteries of this size over here.
Yeah, so a bit geeky. I've got an AI overview of what the reason is. It's indirectly due to EU regulation. So they said the EU does not directly regulate smartphone battery size, but influence it through other regulations. So new regulations starting in mid-2025 require batteries to retain 80% battery after 800 charge cycles and be more durable overall. Furthermore, the international, I think this is the bit that actually really affects it, is the furthermore, the international transport regulations, like those for shipping hazardous goods, also indirectly limit battery size, as a single lithium ion cell may not exceed a certain energy capacity for transport, which leads more manufacturers to smaller batteries for a dual cell design to comply with both EU and transport rules. So we have seen some more dual cell batteries coming out, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, right, okay. So each individual battery can be bigger. It's just not all in one. I really would have liked the 6,000 milliamp hour battery in my Honor 400 Pro, but, yeah, it's 5,300 or something instead. But that doesn't explain the Motorola, though. Well, we come to Moto Edge 60 Pro later, and that has got a 6,000 milliamp hour battery. So I don't know how that has sneaked through, or perhaps they're just rolling the dice and going to get fined.
Yeah, because I did some digging on that, and UK and international air transport regulations allow devices with lithium and iron batteries that have a watt-hour rating of up to 100 watt-hours to be shipped or carried without special airline approval. So batteries between 100 watt-hour and 160 watt-hour require special airline approval to be carried. So I guess it's down to watt-hour rather than milliamp-hour. I'm getting confused now myself.
Yeah.
So like the OnePlus 13 has 6,000 milliamp as well, for example.
Yeah, we need Steve here, really, because when they start talking watt hours and not milliamp hours, I just get lost completely.
Me too.
But also, the Motorola, the Edge 60 Pro, is not a lithium ion, is it? It's silicon carbon.
Yeah, silicon carbon lithium ion battery.
It's a bit of a mix, which is
an advanced type of lithium ion battery. It's my head hurts now, so should we move on?
Okay, let's jump into the new phone news, and you'll be interested in this, and I will too, because the Oppo Find X8 Pro I had here and reviewed it, and I really liked it. The X9 and X9 Pro are about to drop, and they have got the Dimensity 9500 chipset, and the Pro version boasts a 200 megapixel Hasselblad badged telephoto camera. Interested?
Yes, very interested. I've seen a lot of images on Twix from this device, and it does look really, really good. And you can get the Hasselblad teleconverter on there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which is quite interesting. I don't know how good the stabilization is on it, but yeah, it definitely intrigues me. I think this might be one of the best camera devices of the year. Or coming year, really.
Mm. Looks nice, and it's not the smaller of the two is only 6.59-inch screen, which is big enough, but it's certainly smaller than the other one, which is, you know, the usual kind of 6.7/8 size. So yeah, there's a smaller, a physically smaller version as well.
Yeah, and ColorOS is quite good as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Yeah. Now, a gimbal is something that I have never in my life used so far. I've seen them. I used to be wowed by the people on the touchline doing football matches, and I thinking to myself, how on earth is that thing actually staying upright? And then you see other devices that have got gimbals and you think, wow, that is just amazing. It just doesn't move. However much you whack it or do anything to it, it stays upright. It's just amazing. So the reason I'm banging on about this is because there's a phone coming which has allegedly got this awesome camera gimbal thingy stuck on the top of it. What are they calling this? Robot something.
Hashtag robot phone, yeah. I do wonder if this will actually launch or if it would just be a concept, but they're making a big noise about it.
Who is it? Is it Honor?
It is Honor, yeah. So it's on Honor's YouTube channel. Wow. I'll stick a link in there actually after if people want to see it. But it is very interesting indeed.
Blimey. It looks like it might be bolted on the top from the picture that I'm looking at, rather than being just always there. I mean, it can't possibly be always there, can it?
Because no, it's not bolted on. So from what I can see, it actually slides out from the back and comes up.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine how much battery that's going to take as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And the last story for the new phones is that there's a Nothing Phone 3A Lite coming. Undetailed leaks suggest. There's no details, no specifications, but except to say that the reliable leaker from the past say that it's going to be a global release and it's going to be by year end, so by the end of 2025. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. My only two requests. The second one is very unlikely. The first one being that it's smaller. Now, Carl Pei did say on one of his videos ages ago that he likes smaller phones, and when Nothing get to the point where they can sustain their business model, he will be looking at making a smaller version of the Nothing phone. And I'm hoping this will be it. And the second one, which is highly unlikely, is Qi charging.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the Nothing phones. Do you?
Yeah, I want to build a relationship with them because I'd like to test them out. I tried the very first one and they've moved on loads from them, but I thought that was fantastic. The value's good. They're doing something different. Yeah, I'd love to try them again. I'll reach out and see if I can get us some, mate.
Cool. Okay, software news, briefly. Samsung is apparently ditching Microsoft for photo backups. So at the moment, and this is going to be happening in April next year, at the moment what happens is in Samsung's Gallery app, they've done a deal with Microsoft whereby users can sync their photographs with OneDrive. Don't have to, but you can turn it on and do that. What Samsung are trying to do here is to get people to use their own cloud services instead of OneDrive. So whether they've fallen out with Microsoft or what, I do not know. OnePlus confirms the official list of devices getting the Android 16 update, which starts in November. Link in the show notes to that. And yeah, some of them go into next year, but the one I've got here, the OnePlus 12R, should be getting it in November as well. So we'll be interesting to see that coming. From what I've seen in YouTube videos, I don't know if you've seen any of these, Joe, but it looks even more Apple-like to me. Almost at every turn, they've just copied. They're clearly after the Apple users, and they're just making them feel right at home. Have you seen any of those videos?
No, but I mean, it does feel like that from all the Chinese OEMs, really, doesn't it? That they're trying to move that way. I get it, though. I get it.
Yep.
I do get it, because it's tough to get Apple users. So if you do make them feel more comfortable as they come over to Android, it makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And the last bit of software news is that this week I put Android 16 QPR 2 Beta 3 on my Pixel 9. And before I could put it onto my Pixel Fold, they pulled it because it was looping. And to be fair, on my Pixel 9, it took about 4 attempts to get it on. It just kept failing at the last step. And then eventually, I read somewhere, if you turn off the desktop mode functionality in developer settings, it should work okay. And sure enough, it did. So I got it on the Pixel 9. But by the time I got to the Fold, as I say, even with desktop mode turned off, it wouldn't come. And I think I'm right in saying, at time of recording, it's still not been re-released and put out there. So if you didn't get it when it was in that window that I got it from, then you'll just have to wait for the next one. It's not hugely significant, except that it's the last beta before the next QPR release in December, presumably. There you go. I do like what they're doing with M3E, I have to say, and I'm pleased that I've got it all on my Pixel devices. I think it's a lovely front end, and it's the best look that Pixel or Nexus has ever had, I think. Do you agree?
See, I've not played that. I had that Pixel for a little while. I unboxed it and then I naughtily returned it.
Oh yeah.
And got the iPhone, which hasn't had much of my hands on recently. It'll be interesting to see what Scott says next week, actually.
Yes. Yeah, because Scott's really into... I don't know if he's running the betas or not, but he's certainly into Pixels. Mm. And he'll give us a good insight into that, no doubt at all. Right, okay then. So, Moto. Hello, Moto. And we were both sent a Razer 60 Ultra this week by... Moto PR in the UK, and you had a bit of a disaster.
Yes, I was very excited. Opened my Moto 60 Ultra, and straight away I noticed there was a large scratch on the outer screen. So clearly, other reviewers do not look after the devices at all. I thought, you know what? No problem. It's cosmetic. I can live with that because I love the wood finish and it still looks lovely. So I thought to myself, "Hello, Moto," when I saw that. But much like yours, Ted, the device was dead and needed charging.
Yeah. Reviewers are terrible. So, me and Steve used to say this. We looked after phones that were loaned to us by PR companies as if they were our own. And, you know, we treated them with cotton wool gloves. But no one else seems to. And furthermore, I think PR companies don't expect anyone to, because they're just like, well, and probably don't check them ever. And, you know, I guess they can afford to just let people knack on them, can't they?
Yeah, I guess they're that for that use case to be played with and destroyed.
What was wrong with it, anyway, apart from that?
So I did charge it while I was at work yesterday. So again, I come home really excited to play with it, and to find it was a faulty unit because the camera crashes. So when I try and move to the main cameras, the best cameras on the device, it crashes every time. I even tried safe mode. I tried to delete the cache and the storage on the camera app. It kept happening all the time. Strangely, when I put it in like a tent mode, the outer camera would work then. Mm-hmm. Which was weird, but I couldn't turn it so it would face the right way either. There's definitely something wrong with it. And now Dave West, I don't know if some people might know him on X, he's quite a good photographer, he's a motivator as well. I think he had this unit and sent it back for the same reason, so it clearly went back and they just sent it back out again.
So
disappointing, but needless to say, it's getting picked up today, so goodbye Moto for now.
And I'm going to send you mine. So the story between us is that I've still got the 50 series flip phones, and Frankly, when I come to my rundown in a second, I came to the conclusion that, it really wasn't terribly exciting, particularly if you're not someone that's going to make use of the cameras. And I thought that to myself, you might as well have the good one and stop, so we don't muck about. You have the good one. You do the review. You do all the stuff for your YouTube channel, and you can feedback on PSC. I've got enough from the first couple of days with it to be able to feedback, which I'll do in a minute, and then we'll go from there. So we agreed between us that would be okay, didn't we?
Yeah, very much appreciated, Ted, and I think Moto appreciate that as well, judging from their response.
yeah, we told them what we were doing, and they were very happy with that. They said they're going to take the Duff one out of circulation. So I don't know if they will or not, but yeah. That's what they said they're going to do. It must be very difficult to run a PR company, and you know, if you're going to go over with a fine tooth comb like CEX might do every time they get a phone back in, then you've got to pay someone's time to do that and so forth, and. Yeah, it's like, it must be very tempting just to kind of roll them in and roll them out again. Perhaps just make sure the thing's in the box.
Although there was a bit of a delay, weren't there, between sending the old one back and getting the next one.
Yes, there was this time. Perhaps they had staffing issues. Any other thoughts before I launch in?
So I didn't play with it too much, so it won't be long before we get into what you've got to say. Because it was dead and I was working all weekend. So it's more cosmetic early impression. Just like I remember from my hands-on some time ago with a bunch of phonies, the finish on the Razor with the metal frame colour matched to complement the wood, it's beautiful. It's a really lovely finish. Feels really robust in the hand. The free case is nice for the right person. Not really my sort of thing, but it's nice that it's in the box. I wouldn't use it myself, though. And when you open the device, it does feel Sony Xperia-esque with its taller 22:9 aspect ratio, which I'm not against, but it's slightly wider, isn't it? So it's not quite 21:9. I don't know.
I find that the screen is just too tall, frankly. I thought that last year's devices were tall enough, but this is just even taller. And there's no way that it can be used, well, not by me anyway. I've got quite big hands, but, you know, using it one-handed. Fair enough. A lot of scrolling you can do in the bottom half of the screen, and there is a one-handed mode, but it's a bit of a faff, frankly. And you can close it up and use the outside screen, which is kind of half the point, I suppose, which I'll come to in a second.
Which is way more functional than what the Samsung is, isn't it? Going back to the talk of the screen, I like it for social media apps because you've got more on your screen. Which is probably a bad thing, to be honest. I need to stop doom scrolling on these social media apps, to be honest, but it is good for that.
I do agree with you, but the outside screen is now the 50, the Razer 50, which I've got here, has got this slightly smaller outside screen. So if you hold the Razer 60 Ultra in your hand and turn it around and start doom scrolling, then you do get more space on the outside screen, a little bit more to. So it'll be interesting to see what you think about that. So close the thing up, make sure the app can run on the outside screen, then turn it around. So hold it with your right hand where you put your thumb, where the cameras are, and it then puts the data going vertically to the left of the cameras, and that actually works quite well, and you can get away with that. If you take TikTok as an example, however, the top and the bottom of the images and the videos are chopped off, but not as badly as they could be. So if you want to see the whole screen on TikTok, for example, you do need to open it up. But I found that, which brings us to my first point, really, which is that I found the outside screen fairly pointless. Now, with my 62-year-old eyes, the text is just too small to read. And if I raise the font size, then I lose all the screen space to actually do anything or see anything, as I was just describing. There's only so much of a limit that you can drop it down to see it, but make sense of it, if you follow. So there is that. As usual with me and flip phones, I end up just using the outside screen as a notification area or clock or whatever, or a torch or, you know, whatever, which kind of brings you back to the smaller screens on the 40 series devices or other older devices where screens on the outside were smaller. And think to myself, well, that would be okay for me, really, because if that's all I'm going to use it for, it'd be interesting to see if you use it more than I do.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if I use it much as well, because I quite like the look of the Xiaomi 17 range, and obviously that's got their little outer screen as well.
Yes.
This will be a good test to see if it's worth me getting one of them Xiaomi's.
yeah, definitely. It's annoying that they've made the always on display, incidentally, on the outside, an auto brightness control one, which I think I mentioned before. They've done the same on the 50 as well, the Razer 50. It used to be super bright all the time, but now, if you put it in dim conditions, it just drops down the brightness, which is really annoying. It's one of the big things. They haven't done that to the Edge 50 Neo, but I wouldn't be surprised that if some update comes along where they will change that in software and make that the same. Just annoying.
An update to make it go backwards for you.
Yeah, exactly. My one had a flat battery as well on arrival. Again, other reviewers just, you know, don't seem to care. And whenever I send a phone to anyone or back to PR or anything, the last thing I do is charge it to 100%. But, you know, I think we're just... and Steve was the same, but no one else seems to just care. Do you do that?
Yeah, I do it to 100%, although there is an argument to say that you shouldn't ship at 100%. You should put it, I think, at a lower capacity, a lower percentage.
Really?
I'm not sure why. Oh. Yeah, I think it's meant to be safer, but yeah, I always do it to 100% because I think, yeah, I'd like them to be able to turn it on and play it straight away.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, it did give me the chance to test the 68-watt charging claim. Now, this is the first it's the first flip device, I think, anywhere. I haven't checked Huawei's data, but I think it's the first one anywhere that's got 68-watt wire charging. So that's really cool. So this gave me a chance to test that. I used my Ugreen 100-watt GaN charger, not the Motorola 68-watt one, which I do have one of here. But, of course, there wasn't one in the box. Anyway, this 100-watt GaN charger, I was watching it on a cable with the readout on it, and it didn't go over 30 watts. So I'm assuming, a bit like the BBK group devices, that you're only going to get 68 watt from their own chargers. I would need to further test that. It's a bit late now, but there's definitely a difference. Anyway, the phone was charged from 6%, so it was nearly dead, not quite dead, 6% to 100% in about 45 minutes, which, yeah, it is longer than it should be.
Yeah, and do you know what? And if that is the case, Moto should really send us their charger with the phone, shouldn't they?
Yeah. But anyway, I, you know, to me, 45 minutes to fully charge a phone is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
As I say, it is spookily similar to last year's model. I guess it's a good thing in some ways because, you know, most of the boxes were ticked last year anyway. But I can't imagine anyone, don't tell Moto PR I said this, but I can't imagine anyone that's got a 50 series model, Ultra or not, upgrading to this one. I it just doesn't seem to be, there doesn't seem to be enough here to fork out the difference of 1100. Well, actually, there's an offer going on at the moment with 400 quid off, isn't there? But anyway,
that's not bad.
Yeah. But you know, I can't see that anyone's going to upgrade this really. What else have we got? The wooden back on it you mentioned earlier, that's really nice. I like that, except that it's really, really slippery. The case, I agree with you, is just the one with the buckle. Did you get the one with the buckle?
Yeah, like the faux leather the buckle, yeah.
And I thought to myself, if you put this case on there, you'd completely lose the fact that it's got this lovely wooden back on it. What's the point of that? And as I say, it's as slippery as glass anyway. Mind you, the wooden back is as slippery as glass. Anyway, I do my usual thing. Go ahead to Amazon. And yes, £7.95, there's a simple, clear TPU, which fits like a glove, and it gives good protection as well. Now, the one that in the picture, some of the pictures on the Amazon page, get the long cutout that cuts out away from the volume buttons as well as the fingerprint scanner on the side, but the one that I got delivered didn't have that. And I think that the two buttons over the volume buttons, sorry, the plastic being over the two volume buttons is just unnecessary. They didn't need it. Last year's last year's case from the same manufacturer had the whole thing cut out, and it was much better. I put you onto this, and you had a go yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, I felt the same way, too, because the buttons are rather nice on the device, and covering them up with that TPU is quite frustrating. It's quite stiff as well. It feels odd that the power's exposed but the buttons next to it aren't. I agree with you.
The fingerprint scanner incidentally is superb, worked brilliantly well, but capacitive fingerprint scanners do, I find. The No Choice installs. So when you turn it on, you get the following: Opera, Facebook, Perplexity, Microsoft Copilot, LinkedIn, Amazon Music, Google Home, Google Wallet, Google Find. But all of those, if you want to, I don't know about the Google ones, but all of the other ones, you can uninstall them with no problem. However, there's also a games folder, which has got a bunch of suggested games in the folder, and there's also some that will play without downloading and some that you have to download and blah, blah, blah. And there's a load of games also pre-installed on the external display. I'm not quite sure who the target market is here, but the good thing about this folder, though, is that you can disable it. And if you disable it, the folder just disappears away from sight. We do know from previous, though, that Motorola will, on updates, stuff it full of more. Did you get as far as to be bugged by that?
Yeah, I did see that there was like a games folder on the outer screen, which did intrigue me. Do you think they're just trying to shout out, look, you can play games on the outer screen?
Yeah, but it's also on the inner screen. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Until you take it away. And you can take it away.
Drinking some kind of partnership they've got.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But and they're trying to appeal to the kind of the kids, I suppose, which some of which will be wowed by the fact that they can have the phone folded, particularly, and still play these dumb, childish, stupid games. Anyway,
that does make sense because their marketing is very much like fashion and lifestyle. So yeah, that does make sense.
Yes, indeed. The speakers are pretty strong, I found. You probably didn't get this far, but the volume is really good. And after fiddling about with Dolby settings, I got the quality to be very good as well. If you just use it as it is out of the box, I thought that on high volumes, the speakers sounded tinny and horrible. But yeah, if you start digging into the Dolby settings and playing around and tweaking it, you can make the sound really good. And GSM Arena agree with that. They seem to think that the sound is really good.
I mean, it should be at that price, really.
Yeah, you would hope so, wouldn't you? I think that they're certainly better than last year's 50 Ultra and 50. I'm sure they are. It arrived with Android 15 on it, and it's going to get 16, 17, 18, and it's got it updated to September 25 security. So apart from not having Android 16, which is fair enough, it's bang up to date, so that's really good. There's a Snapdragon 8 Elite chipset inside, which actually does. I know that I said that on the 50, the Dimensity chipset was absolutely fine. And it was. There was a little bit of slowdown shifting data around, but actually it was fine. But this Snapdragon 8 Elite obviously is making it fly even faster, paired up with the 16 gigs of RAM as well. But out of the box, they put an extra 4 gigs on, but you can turn that off. Unlike Honor, are you taking note, Honor? You can't turn it off.
Oh, I didn't realise that. I never realised that, Honor, you couldn't turn it off.
You
I'll
can't.
Have to look at that.
They put 12 gigabytes of RAM on my 400 Pro and a forced extra 12. So they're claiming there's 24 gigs of RAM on the device and you can't turn it off. No, it's stuck on, which is one thing that in the Reddit forums people are complaining about. So they might change that in due course. The screen is higher resolution than before, but with my eyes, I can't really tell. Again, I don't know if you got as far as to be able to see that. I thought that you know, it's like the 165 hertz refresh rate. To me, I can't tell the difference between 60 and 90, frankly. But anyway, you've got younger eyes than me. Can you?
I'm not sure I can. I'll have to test it really and see. I'm excited to give it a go because with that Snapdragon 8 Elite, it could be really good for gaming.
Yeah.
160 hertz refresh rate and that chipset.
As long as you
and
can
that
tell.
RAM as well.
For those that can tell the difference.
Yeah.
There's an IP4 8. With this device over last year, so the four bit is the important bit, which is the water, the dust. So there's a little bit of dust resistance built in now. It's not IP68, which the Pixel is leading with their folding device, but it does have at least four, so a bit more
and
confidence.
Honor.
And Honor, and Honor they're doing 6.8, are they?
Oh wait a minute, or is it 5? It might be 5859 actually. I'm forgetting now.
Yeah, I thought Pixel were first on that.
It might be 5859. Yeah, okay. I think you're right.
Smart Connect works beautifully well, as you'd expect. It works like every other Moto phone out there, and it's just so cool to use. I know that everyone's not going to use it all the time, and some people will never use it. But, you know, when I've been looking at some YouTube videos recently about the new look Samsung DeX, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, hang on a minute, Moto Smart Connect has been doing all of this stuff on the new look Samsung DeX forever. And these people are kind of wowing about it as if it's something new. And I think, well, Moto are really ahead of the game with this desktop mode. And they are. It works brilliantly well. And it works across devices and computers and tablets and multiple this and multiple that. It just works brilliantly well. Have you had a play with that?
No, and this is something I'm really excited to test out, actually, because I'm very much a mobile-first type of guy, and having that as my main device, with that great chipset and with the capability to do this, it's brilliant. Because a lot of people, this is their only computer in their house, and this could be what computer it could be for them.
Yeah, definitely. So my day one and day two reaction is that I don't think flip phones are for me, really. I think they're for a different section of users and the market. Dare I say teenagers and ladies, but I probably better not say that. I'll take that away. the cameras. I'll hand over to you on this. I did test the macro, the autofocus on the wide angle, and that's pretty much the same as other Moto models I've got and have had. It worked really well. But obviously your camera wasn't working properly, but you might find something to wow you in that when you get this one.
Yeah, again, because something I'm excited to test, and this is Split's opinion, actually, because the last year's Ultra had a telephoto and a main, whereas this one's got an ultra wide and a main. Now, that makes sense to me now, because you would vlog with this device using the outer screen, and that's something I really want to test with it. And the main lens is meant to be very good as well. So, yeah, I'm really excited to give it a test. The macro I've not really even thought about with a flip device, but yeah, I'll give that a go too.
Yeah,
and that'll be coming, my thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I'll put it in the post to you tomorrow, and mm-hmm. you'll have it on Wednesday. So for next week's show with Scott, we should get some feedback from you. But yeah, that was my early findings, really. I'll put a load of links into the show notes, comparison with the 50 Ultra and comparison with the 50, not Ultra, and all sorts of links to dive into. I feel as though I've done what I need to do with it, frankly, and I think that we'll get more mileage out of it if I send it to you. So I think that's probably the best move all round. I shall look forward to your findings.
Yeah, it was interesting because it's actually my first flip phone to try.
Oh, is it?
As well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've not tried a flip before, so yeah.
But presumably,
let's see if I like it.
Presumably, you've had hands on though, selling them or whatever.
Yeah, and the early models, I always saw issues with them, so it put me off them.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
it is pretty.
There's loads of people that love them though.
Yeah, yeah, and it is pretty good now. I mean, the crease in the screen is still there. There's no question at all. You know, if you go looking for it, you'll find it. But and if you run your finger over it, you'll feel it. But it's not as bad as the early devices were. And if you don't go looking for it, then you don't see it. When the screen is lit up and it's on, you just don't see it. It's only when you touch it that you'll see it, or you're folding it, you'll see it. And as I said earlier, a lot of the time, if you're holding it open with one hand, you're interacting with the screen in the bottom half anyway. So your thumb gets nowhere near to the middle of the where the crease is, mostly. But yes.
Yeah, it's rare that you'll go over the crease, really, isn't it?
Exactly. Unless you're
not
using
that noticeable,
it.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're using it two-handed and you're editing photographs or something. I mean, you'll see it then, or you'll feel it then. But
yeah.
I think it's fine, personally. And no doubt in time they will make it perfect. And it's not perfect at the moment, but we haven't got there yet. Probably Apple will do that, won't they? Ha!
Oh, of course, yeah, when they come up, which seems like it's going to be coming soon, because I think the Air is a bit of a concept towards it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I feel like Apple flips were coming.
Yeah. Anyway, right, moving on. More Hello Moto, and the one that I haven't touched on yet is the Edge 60 Pro. So this is now here, and to be honest with you, I think I'm more inclined towards using a candy bar phone than I am a flip phone, just my personal preference. And the Moto Edge 60 Pro, I bought one in the end because Moto PR were not going to send me one. I kept waiting and they didn't. Anyway, there's quite a lot of crossover, to be honest, with the Edge 60. The Edge 60 they did send me and I reviewed, and I'll put a link to the in the show notes to that. The differences, though, are that the Edge 60 Pro has got Qi charging. Hurrah!
Hey.
Whereas the Edge 60 didn't, which was really annoying. And I put that in my review, which I'll link to. 6,000 milliamp hour battery, which is a silicon and carbon one as well, which we mentioned earlier. And the battery performance is stunningly good. Worked really well. The vanilla Edge 60 didn't have a battery that size. I can't remember how big it was now. I think it was 4, 5 or something like that. No, I can't remember. Anyway, it's also got 90 watt wired charging over 68 watt, which I mean, to be honest, when you get to 68, going to 90 is not that huge, but the 60 Pro charges very quickly by cable if you need to do that and not use the Qi charging. It's got the Dimensity 8350 Extreme chipset over the 7300 on the Edge 60, and you can tell, like I was saying earlier, if you look for it, you can tell. I'm not a big gamer, but I'm sure that gamers would be wowing about that. My judgment about speed of chipsets is about copying data and how fast it takes to do 100 updates, or setting up the phone, or moving films, MP4 files between my computer to it, and blah blah blah. And you can tell the difference. I just don't think it's mind-blowingly different. It's just better and a bit faster, so that's good.
I think in the camera it does have some effect.
Okay.
With how that sort of functions, it does feel a bit faster, because we had hands-on with both at the same time, and it did feel snappier in the camera UI and taking shots, and so it did have an impact there.
You had the 60 Pro when I had the 60.
No, so when we was at Lenovo's head office, we had hands-on with both quickly.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, and we had some time afterwards, because we all took a different unit away. I took the Think phone away with me, but the chaps, two of the other chaps had the 60 Pro and 60 Standard.
Yep.
And yeah, we could see a slight difference side by side. But I mean, we're talking side by side here, so
yeah.
Maybe not massive when they're separate.
Yeah, sure. I'm not pushing it in those kinds of ways, so I don't really notice. But yeah, apparently the 8350 Extreme is a good chipset and feels faster. There's no micro SD card slot on the Edge 60, but having said that, it's got 512 gigabytes of storage, and frankly, with connectivity the way it is these days, in the places I live and go, frankly, I don't even fill the 512 anymore, let alone use a micro SD card. Some phones that have got a slot, I don't even put the card in anymore. So anyway, but if you rely on a micro SD card because you're shooting loads of video, you'd have to shoot a lot to fill a 1 terabyte card, though. I think it takes up to 2 terabyte, actually. Yes, there is that. But it hasn't got that. My remaining whinge, really, is a lack of always-on display. And more annoyingly, the Indian version got an LTPO screen, and it had one. That's so annoying.
That is frustrating. Yeah. I hate it when they do that in different markets.
Yeah, exactly.
Just quickly, while we touch on India, happy Diwali to anyone celebrating that.
Happy
Diwali today? Diwali, I think it's the Festival of Light, isn't it? It's Diwali today.
Oh, is it?
I believe it is, yeah.
Oh, right.
If I'm wrong, which I could be, take that out. But yeah, I'm sure it is Diwali today. It's happy Diwali to people celebrating that.
Hurrah. Okay. that's just annoying that, and Moto have shown that they can do it. The always-on display on the Edge 50 Neo here is just perfect. It works beautifully, and they can do it, but they choose not to do it. They're still stuck in this peak display thing, which is really annoying. Anyway, workarounds include Google Screensaver, and I think this is the first time I've seen this happening. If you put the phone on charge, or on a cradle on charge or whatever, you get Google Screensaver, which some OEMs incidentally have ripped out, but anyway, Moto have not. And you get a clock and a day and a date kind of, roving around the screen while it's charging. But also, I think for the first time, you get the status bar showing as well. I don't think I've seen that before. And so you get notifications across the top, the little clock and the battery thingy across the top. And it's all there. And I've used Google Screensaver quite a lot. And I do think that's the first time I've seen it. The other thing you can do, of course, is to set the screen off time to 30 minutes, which, you know, you can't switch it to never, but 30 minutes is quite a long time. And also, it's got Moto have got this attentive display thingy, like some others now, which means that if you put it on a desk in front of you and your face is looking at it, it will stay on. As long as it's not too dark, it will just stay on continuously. So there is that.
Any thoughts? Always turn that type of thing on. I like the attentive display things, yeah.
Any thoughts on any of that so far?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, the screensaver thing. I've never seen that before. It's quite good that you get your notifications at the top at a glance. I never really used it, or I probably have, but not thought nothing of it.
You probably aren't someone like me that just is lost without an always-on display.
Yeah, I do like it. It's nice to be able to just glance and see if there's notifications there, see the time. And I like to be able to personalise it slightly as well.
As I said on the last show, I think, the Honor 400 Pro is staggeringly good in that respect. It's got the always-on display, which could be a bit brighter. But anyway, I won't complain because notifications come in and light the whole screen up. And other devices are supposed to do that. Pixels are supposed to do that, but they don't. Well, mine doesn't anyway. And it lights the whole screen up. And the 400 Pro's screen is so lovely and bright that it just makes it a delight to use. I think that's probably the best feature of the phone.
Yeah, I mean, it's the gateway to everything, isn't it? The screen, so it makes sense to make that good.
Now, last year I banged on and on about the Edge 50 Pro, and eventually I sold mine to Aidan Bell, who's really enjoying it. But the Edge 50 Pro was just great, and I really liked it. Super phone. And I've done a little bit of a comparison here with the Edge 60 Pro. So the Edge 50 Pro versus the Edge 60 Pro. And I'll just have a quick run through the ups and downs of that. So with the Edge 60 Pro, the aluminium frame is gone, for those that are concerned about that. However, there's IP69 that's been added. The IP68 has been usurped, so that's been added. There's also military standard certification, the 810H added, which is something else that Moto are doing these days. On the 60 Pro, the screen refresh rate has been dropped from 144 to 120, which, as I said earlier, I can't tell the difference, but some people might be able to do that with that. The brighter screen is significant, I think, though, because it's more than doubled in its nit count. I know that nit count isn't everything, but it's gone from 2,000 nits to 4,500, and it is a really bright screen. Not as bright as the Honor screen, but it's not far off, and it's a nice sharp screen too. Very good. The Gorilla Glass has been upped to 7i. And as I said earlier, the Dimensity chipset is the 8350 Extreme is really good. On the Edge 50 Pro, there was a Snapdragon 7 Gen 3, which was not hailed as being great. I always found it absolutely fine, however. The HDMI out has gone, which is significant. On the Edge 50 Pro, you had cabled connection with an HDMI cable to any other device or whatever you wanted to connect it to. That's gone now. But the wireless, to be honest, is so good with a decent network that you can see why they've done that. There's UFS 4 for the storage over 2.2. There's the 6,000 milliamp hour battery, as we said earlier. Over the 4,500. However, the wired charging has dropped from 125 to 90. Again, as I said earlier, the difference in that is not hugely significant, but it is amazing watching the Edge 50 Pro flying through a charging cycle, like 21 minutes and you're charged from flat. That's really impressive. And also, with the Edge 50 Pro, back in the day, there was a power brick in the box. Not only a power brick, but the 125-watt power brick. So, but I think, on balance overall, I think the newer one is kind of better. But it's a shame that some of those things have been eked away and You could say that the 50 Pro last year had it better in those certain ways. But I think overall, the 60 Pro is a worthy enough upgrade, unlike the Razr. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, some of them things I do like, and it is a shame they got rid of, like HDMI out, and the faster charging, and the big one is the brick in the box for me. But yeah, I think you go on to say about, you're going to mention it yourself. I really wish they did the Ultra this year.
Yes.
I did bug Wilkin about that and try and get info from him, and he wouldn't say anything. But the way he responded is if it was going to happen. So I was like quite positive with his response, but it hasn't, and it's not going to by the seams of things.
If they do, it's going to be well over £1,000, I reckon. The H50 Ultra, you can still buy that, you know, on Amazon UK. I know that the longer time goes on, the less appealing it gets, but they're offering me £49 times 12 months on Amazon. I know they don't offer that to everyone, but they are to me. And sometimes I look at it and I think, should I? You know, the one thing that stops me from moving forward is no always-on display. But apart from that, that's a real flagship. And if they do bring out an H60 Ultra, I'll be really tempted. Hopefully Wilkin and Co. will send us one if they do.
Yeah, because I'd be really intrigued by a Moto flagship, because at the moment their flagship is the Razr Ultra, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. That's the one that they're clearly putting all their resources into. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if there is not an H60 Ultra. I really wouldn't. They're much more interested in the middle of the market now. And we've seen already that the Edge 60 Neo is going to come, and hopefully again they'll let us borrow some of those when they do to review, and that's where they're at, I think. I'm not sure that we'll see, apart from the flip phones, I don't think we'll see another candy bar Motorola for the foreseeable that's outside of the £600 range, and the Edge Pro device will be the what they will consider to be their flagship. So there you have it.
Indeed.
Right, Moto Buzz Loop. When you went to the event that you went to and met Wilkin and all your mates were around the table, they had some Moto Buzz Loop there, and I had the opportunity of getting a pair from one of our MeWe group members at a good price, so I snapped it up because I got all motor orientated, and I think that they're great. You know, I've got the Soundcore C330i unit here, and at first I thought to myself, yeah, the motor ones are not as good, but actually on further testing I think that they work really well. They're certainly more flexible, they're more bouncy when you put them on your ears. With the Soundcore ones, I've got to use two hands to get them to go over my ear lobe or side. With the motor ones, they're just really flexible, and they bounce, and you can just put them on with one hand, and they work really really well. The sound, I think, is fairly equivalent with the Soundcore ones, so there is that, but physically they're much better, and the battery works really well. I think the whole, you can sink yourself into this whole kind of Moto thing if you want to. The Moto Watch Fit is good here. I've got that here too, and that's really good. It's not a Wear OS device, and it's not that smart, but it's also got a 16-day battery life, which is just great. And it encourages you to wear it in the night to track your sleeping, unlike Wear devices. And I previously reviewed the Moto Buzz Plus, which were very good as well for those that want to stuff things down their ear canal. But yeah, the Moto Buzz Loop, you had a go with these, or did you not get to turn them on or anything?
I didn't get to turn them on, but I really liked the look of them. Did you get them, the green one that was on the classified?
Was it green? No, they're not, they're black.
Oh, okay. There was a green colour pair that look really, really nice. And if you really wanted to, they got the new version,
the bling
that came out. Yeah, the bling. Not quite for me, but I can imagine that appealing to some people. But yeah, I mean, I love Soundcore. So if they sound up to that level, then they're really good.
Yeah, I think I'm very impressed with them, and I wear them a lot. And I know that, you know, the bloke next to me can hear it as well, but I don't really care about that, because most of the time I'm not sitting on a bus and I'm on my own, and you can hear what's going on around you as well. So, you know, if I need to be noise isolated, if there's a drill being operated outside, I can put my Sonys on. But day to day, I think they're really good.
There's a lot to be said about how easy you got them off and on as well, because that can be a frustration with little tiny buds, can't it? So that's a nice.
They're really good. They're really bouncy. You put them between your fingers, and you can just easily move them in and out, and they just spring back. Really well designed. So I recommend those very highly. My last bit of Hello Moto is our thoughts really on the forthcoming Edge 60 Neo. I did a bit of a post on my blog about this, so I'll link to that in the show notes. And it just looks great. It looks like they've done all the same things that they did before. It's still got an LTPO display. It's still the same dinky size, 6.36 inches. It's still got 5 OS updates, which the old one had. The chipset has been moved up from the 7300 to the 7400, for those that could tell the difference. Smart Connect is all going to work properly. The battery has been increased from 4300 to 5200. I mean, it was good enough as it was on the 50 Neo, but you know, they've just made the battery even better. The 68 watt the 68 watt wire charging has been retained, but I guess it won't be in the box. And yeah, I'm looking forward very much to this. It is going to be £399 release price, but having said that, we know very well that within 3-6 months it's going to be, well, maybe not half that, but like £299 or £249 or something. So I'm quite looking forward to the Edge 60 Neo. I think it's going to be challenging my, you know, phone of the year thing again, like the Edge 50 Neo did for 2024. So hopefully we'll both get sent one.
Yeah, I hope we get one in January, because I know you love the 50 Neo, and I'm really intrigued by it because of listening to you last year about the 50 Neo. I'm like, yeah, I really want to try that 60 Neo. I think what you get for that price, even at the 349, is fantastic.
Yeah.
I quickly wanted to say, if anyone doesn't already read your blogs and website for your reviews because they don't like reading, on Chrome you can get AI to read it for you.
Yeah.
Because I'm not much of a reader, so I sometimes get your stuff read out to me. Do check it out, because Ted's stuff is fantastic, and he spends a lot of time on it. Do check it out and get AI to read it if you don't like reading.
Yeah, thanks very much. There are quite a lot of reading tools going around at the moment, which are really good.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, watch this space on more Moto stuff if you're not bored with it and switched off before now. before we close up, we'll do a couple of other things. The photo of the week I picked this week. Incidentally, Joe, do feel free to pick a photo of the week if you want to. I don't have to do it myself. The one that I picked is Autumn Reflections by Chad Dixon, which he took with a Samsung Galaxy S25 FE the other day at Hampstead Heath, which is a picture of a pond in front of a bunch of houses, and I just thought it looked really, really nice composition. He'd done that pretty well, I think. He's got the reflection going to be squarely in the frame. I did wonder at first, it's got really nice autumn colours. I did wonder at first if it would look better with a blue sky patched in by, you know, various tools. But on reflection, I think probably not. On reflection, probably not. I think that the cloudy skies add to the feel of autumn about it. I think he was right not to try and change that if he ever thought about it. But yeah, nice one, Chad. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I just love autumn colours, and this is perfect with the reds and the oranges and the yellows coming in amongst the greens. It's a beautiful shot, and I'm a sucker for good reflections as well. So yeah, nice one, Chad. I like it.
And if you look at the on the right hand side there, halfway up the frame, that green on the in front of that fence, the grass there, that's really kind of Samsung-y saturated green, but it hasn't seemed to have affected the greens across the rest of the frame, just that one. So I like some of the ways in which Samsung deals with colour, I have to say. I know they get some bad press for oversaturating, but I actually quite like it. I think that people generally do want colourful pictures. If you're going to have colour, then have colour, don't you think?
Yeah, it's funny you say it, because I mean, I always go for a more natural look, but like Honor, for example, do the vibrant, and there is the argument that a lot of people would like the vibrant more. Yeah. And it's very ready to put on your socials with that like bit of pop. I popped then on the mic at the same time. Yeah, with that bit of pop, it's again, it's subjective, isn't it? I think Samsung have improved massively with their colors though, so I think Samsung of the past, you would see a bit more saturation in them greens. It wouldn't have been quite as nice as that, I don't think.
I think they've made it a little bit more natural, which is why that line of grass kind of stood out to me, because it looks like the old Samsung. Anyway, really nice shot. So well done, Chad. Classifieds, just before we go, if you want to join in with our Classifieds group, it is a closed members-only group, so email me if you want to join in. Did you find anything to pick?
Well, there's not a great deal on there at the moment, and I'm actually going to controversially pick something that's not a phone. I've heard a lot of good things about Garmin watches. Gary Clark's got a 47mm Fenix 8 on there for $575. For someone else's money, I'll take that, please. Although there is something on there that is the same price that you're looking at, Ted.
Yeah, which is the Paul Waggett's Honor Magic V3. And I shall ask your advice on this in a moment. The 512GB, 12GB version, $575, as you say, the same price. Global version, boxed with an Honor case. There's also, from Paul Garner, he's selling an Honor Magic V5, which is the one you've got there, for £1,099, 512GB. I think you mentioned that on the last show, but there's a comparison going on here between the, you know, one last generation one and one this generation, and there's a significant price difference. I looked at the differences between the two, and I'm not quite convinced that it's, you know, the V3 still got mileage. You're the Honor man. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're talking about this price difference, that 575 for the V3 is fantastic. Now, I do think the V5 is a really nice refinement on the V3. And I think it's more robust and the camera's slightly better, especially on the telephoto. But that V3 is amazing still. And that price, yeah, I'd go for it. Because you haven't played with Honor Foldable yet, have you?
I haven't. As I was saying earlier, whenever I put my SIM card into a foldable device, I just don't last long because I don't open them up. But maybe Honor would be different because it's differently shaped and bigger and whatever. I don't know. But, you know, 575 is still a substantial amount of money. I'm not saying that it's the wrong price, and Paul should get it, no doubt. But for me, it's still substantial, and I need to sell something to get that.
I mean, when you think about the price compared to the Edge 60 Pro, for example, that's kind of where that sits. So when you think about that for a foldable, that's really good. But it's tough between them, because I do like the refinement of the V5.
Yeah, but the V3, from where I'm sitting, is just, well, maybe, of course, it's not just as good, but it's just not far behind. Both of those, I think. Anyway, there it goes. Classifieds group is in the MeWe set of groups, which, as I said earlier, you can find by heading for tedsalmon.com. Links to all of those groups there, and all of our audio podcasts, and phoneshowchat.uk is our website. MeWe group is where we scoop up stuff for this show as well as the other ones, so do join us there. Any thoughts from you in closing, Joe?
No, I just look forward to getting that razor and giving my thoughts in the future. Looking forward to Scott next week.
Yes, indeed. Scott is very much a Pixel user, so we shall be looking forward to find out about what he thinks about his current lineup of devices. So thanks for tuning in, if you've made it this far, you're not bored with Moto, then we'll catch you next week. Have a good week, everyone. Cheers.
Bye-bye.